Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We're going to go to Missouri, because we haven't been talking about Missouri, because things have been kind of, you know, simmering, and it's been used for an epicenter for a lot of those things we talked about in regards to, you know, the stage being set. And you can find out more about that by going to the VFN Torch. I don't know, what's the name of that post for the segment for the 12, 13 steps for... No, the one that we just did on that.
We will have that for you here.
Thank you very much. And so look, you'll find out more about that, because this is what Ferguson's really about, what's taking place. And we have to understand God's into justice. He wants justice. So we got to be real careful to make sure that despite what people are trying to make of it, that justice comes there in Ferguson. And as a matter of fact, we just pray right now, Lord, that justice, your justice would come to Ferguson.
Now, the title is Rules for Radicals. What is the root of this? And as Christians, how should we respond?
Yes, and the stage is set as the last part of that title, you know, that the stage is set in America for this. And so when you part of that is Ferguson, and part of that is this grand jury meeting. So we're going to talk about, you know, what is a grand jury? And you might be shocked. That's actually your constitutional right for a grand jury. And that is the purpose of the grand jury, is so that the government will not have an overreach on you. It protects you from the government. The scary thing is, it's like the government's coming down, trying to reach down into this thing. It's like that's the whole purpose. I believe it's the Sixth Amendment, but we'll talk about it, the Constitution. The whole purpose was so the government wouldn't reach. And there's like three government officials that have gone to Ferguson. It's like, hands off. You got 16 to 23 folks here from that community that are looking at all the evidence. So let them handle that.
I think they can handle it. I think they can do it.
Which is pretty interesting, because the Constitution is to protect them all from the reach of the government, and the government has been trying to reach all of that thing. That's powerful, isn't it? The Constitution is like, wow. I mean, even though people may be violating it, it's just like, that's the only thing keeping about. Imagine if we didn't have the Constitution, what would really be going on, you know, right now. So we're going to talk about what is a grand jury, and we need to know this. We need to know it's a constitutional right for you and for everyone else, and what does that actually mean, and to be careful that it is not about somebody's guilty. It's about you going to a room somewhere and somebody giving you all this evidence and let you look and see if your neighbor's guilty or possibly has committed a crime and there needs to be a trial. And even when they actually decide there needs to go to trial, the grand jury is not even saying that they're guilty. They're just saying, well, we saw some evidence. This thing needs to go to a trial so they can really get deep into this thing and find out if, in fact, a crime has been committed. And in that, there's more citizens called the jury that sits there and watches this go on. What a beautiful system. Do we really want to blow this Constitution out of the water? Do we really want to just give this thing up? You know, Dick, this has been an experiment, blessing from God, the United States of America. The freedom has never been before. You are protected as a U.S. citizen if you stand up for your rights. If you believe for everybody deserves equal justice under the law. And Dr. King is a great example on how he stood up for that. Equal justice for everyone. First, there's Ferguson. The tensions are building, and you're hearing the word grand jury, grand jury, grand jury. And we're going to talk about that after you see this segment from CBN about Jessup's reporting. That we need to pray for all of our reporters, all of our Christian reporters. And they're everywhere. There's some in CNN. There's some in MSNBC. There's some at Fox. There's some at CBN. They're all around the place. But we got to pray for them, because they're between a rock and a hard place. And they're stepping into areas to tell us what's happening. And we need to pray for them. They're like brave missionary soldiers going in to take our eyes in there so we know what's happening. And, I mean, I'm telling you what. There's two reporters at CBN. I'm just thinking, oh. You know, we got to pray for them and support them, because this is, and I think this too, and God's beginning to show me this, that maybe you are the future reporter, that God's beginning to show me that Christians who understand the kingdom, that you are going to be like an embedded reporter in your life, and with all the capabilities, even in your cell phone, has more than the previous rockets that shot off to go out and land on the moon. That one cell phone has more technology in it than they had in those space rockets early on. You can use that in conjunction with VFNTV and the Data Radio Program. We're going to partner together. You know, I just want to give a big shout out to Avi Mizrahi in Israel. I mean, I just see, you know, embedded reporters in Israel as we're working together. We'll make it available to the nations immediately. I see, you know, in Haiti, I see Sila in Haiti. Sila in Haiti. And those that are on the front lines. And then we're going to be able to show you immediately without all that twisted corporate dung, is that right? Around it. Trying to go, well, what does it say in the scriptures? And so you can just, and it's like, wow, then you know, get a perspective than a biblical view. We're just excited about this. So be praying about that, because, and continue to watch VFNTV.com. That's where we're going to make it available to you. But right now, let's go to Ferguson. Let's go to Ferguson and see what has taken place. And think, when you see this reporter, realize he went there in the midst of that for you, for me, and for God. Watch this.
Some gun dealers in the Ferguson, Missouri area say their sales are on the rise. This while fearful residents wait for the grand jury's decision on whether to indict the police officer who fatally shot Michael Brown. Protest leaders say they are preparing for nonviolent demonstrations, but they also admit the risk of more unrest if the grand jury decides not to issue criminal charges against the white officer who shot the black 18-year-old. John Jessup is in Ferguson, Missouri, ahead of the grand jury's decision whether to indict Officer Darren Wilson. John, what's the mood like in Ferguson now, and any idea when the announcement will be made?
Well, Mark, let's start with the announcement of the indictment. That is really the $6 million question here on everyone's mind. And really, that indictment decision can be made at any time now. They're expecting it as early as this week. But there is some theories that it might come a little bit later, just to hopefully quell some of the potential unrest. But of course, that goes back to the fact that this was the scene, Ferguson was the scene of much unrest and violence back in August after the initial conflict, and they're hoping to avoid that this time around. As far as the mood, things are quite calm here right now. I had lunch with a local pastor from Ferguson, and he described it as eerily calm. And of course, people are thinking, like I said earlier, back to the summer where there was much unrest and much violence. And they suspect that those fireworks could erupt again here in Ferguson and in some of the surrounding areas.
Yeah, that brings up my next question. Is the city bracing for another possible round of violent protests like we saw this past summer?
Mark, they are. The city, the county, and local area authorities are bracing themselves and planning for more potential unrest. And of course, earlier this week, Missouri Governor Jay Nixon issued a state of emergency ahead of the grand jury's decision. And the whole goal here is to avoid the scenes that we saw, the whole nation and the whole world saw back this summer, where a lot of critics charged the law enforcement with using excessive, provocative, and militant force. So they've had 3 months to prepare themselves, and they say that they will allow for peaceful protests and demonstrations, but they will arrest anyone who breaks the law.
Now, you're there to cover area churches and their response to whatever happens. You said you had lunch with a pastor. Can you tell me what you've learned about their efforts to minister to the people living in the city and the surrounding areas, John?
Yes, well, you know, St. Louis has a history of racial divide, and in many ways, this has, even though it's a tragic incident, the death of anyone is tragic, this has kind of helped to bring some of the churches together. They are partnering churches with one another, and they're also partnering with local entities. The schools have actually asked the churches to help them provide safe havens for area students when the schools potentially close down after the indictment order or decision is made public. So these churches will be open 24/7 to allow places for students to come to a place that's safe and away from any potential violence, where they can be away and removed from that, and also have a place to learn and a place for warm meals. So in many respects, churches say that even though this has drawn a lot of negative attention to the city and surrounding areas, this is an opportunity for them to minister hope and healing to an area known for much unrest.
Very true. Good to see that the church is gearing up to help folks there and is already doing so. All right, our correspondent, John Jessup in Ferguson, Missouri. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Mark.
So, Jessup, isn't this amazing? We just appreciate his reporting and what you're doing there. And make sure you support, CBN, be a part of that. And It's amazing. So what is this grand jury? How many people just go, you know, they just write that off mm-hmm. and say, you know, it is somebody's guilty here and somebody's done something wrong and they are actually trying to formulate what they did wrong. Or is it something else? So we're hearing grand jury. But isn't it amazing? And I heard somebody talk about this, and I think this is really wise based on truth. Secondly, about the Constitution, because you as an American citizen, you're supposed to be considered innocent until proven guilty. So we should always look at you as you're innocent until someone proves, especially when... You know, before God, because every man is guilty, you know, in regards to, you have men's laws, and then you have, you know, moral laws with God. And so the ultimate judge of mankind. And so where they put people's picture in the newspaper or on a website and they say, you know, this person is arrested for this charge. And how many people immediately said they're guilty of what they're arrested for? And you know, when I made arrests for individuals, I did not determine their guilt. I didn't arrest them because I think they should deserve 10 years in prison and I'm going to go lock them up and just pick them up. And my car, hey, jump in the car. I'm going to go take you to this place and put you in here for 10 years because I read in my statute book that this is, you know, I was judge and jury and all that, you know, and warden. But what I would do is if I saw or heard, you know, that people had to do a warrant affidavit, but just say, for example, I saw what appeared to be a crime to me, and probable cause is defined as this, is that you have a reasonable probable cause to believe that a crime has been committed or is about to be committed. You have reasonable suspicion would be a reason to stop someone, but you have probable cause, which means there's something happening that they did or evidence around them that looks like potentially they did. Not that they did, but just there was enough there to say, you know what? We need to surface this thing and talk about it some. And so what we have at that point, we have the officers, which are our servants, and we thank God for our police officers, but their responsibility would be is to bring that person, and even if it's their fellow officer, bring that person to this particular place that we can talk about this. That's called a grand jury. There's no guilt. There's just an idea that potentially, you know, a crime has been committed. Let's back up a little bit. If an officer has seen probable cause for a crime, you know, a person, you know, potentially committing a crime, he can make the arrest, she can make the arrest. And if it's a misdemeanor, there's no grand jury. If it's a felony, then it has to go to a grand jury before, and probable cause has to be established. If they can establish, if the officer themselves can establish that probable cause happened, then they don't need a grand jury because probable cause has been established already. But in regards to a felony, according to the Sixth Amendment of the United States, you have potentially 16 to 23 of your fellow citizens who live in your own community will look at all the stuff that's being said about you, and they will look and see if there's any probable cause. That's called a grand jury. And so what you hear right now, media is convicting people immediately. And it's an interesting thing that they're convicting right now. They're convicting, if you look over the last few years, pretty much has to do with all this authority, whether it's authority in your community, whether it's authority in the church, whether it's authority law enforcement, whether it's government officials. I mean, it's like it's a coming against anybody in a place of authority. And people are automatically saying because there's a grand jury, then they're guilty. But the grand jury is about someone who's going to, your citizens that are going to be looking at it and to see if there is probable cause there, which means there might not be anything at all. And when the grand jury's done, everybody walks out and say, hey, this is totally off base. This person is not, there's no probable cause around this individual that they've committed any crime whatsoever. In other words, they are innocent. They're innocent. Mm-hmm. And even when they do say, a grand jury says, we believe there's probable cause, they're still innocent until proven guilty. They're just saying, we don't really know, but we believe there is a crime potentially committed. So then they go to a jury, and at that point they do it. This is your Sixth Amendment of the Constitution, just so you can think about this. This is what you have as a right. This is, you have this as a right when you become a citizen of America. It's the Sixth Amendment to the United States Constitution. Let me find this one right here. That's flipping. Amendment 6 says, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused, this is the American citizen's right, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public, in other words, everybody gets to see this thing, to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed. In other words, you can't just go pull some people from some other state over there. What you have right now, you have people coming from outside of Ferguson, Missouri, trying to prosecute this case. And it's like, you know, the Constitution says we need some Fergusonites, you know, some people from Ferguson that know me, that grew up with me, that worked with me, that was my teacher, that was my lawyer, that was my doctor. And they saw me at the little store down the street. These are the folks that needs to be the one on that grand jury because they know more about me than what's just happening. So it has to be from Ferguson. And he says, and this needs to be ascertained by law and be formed prior to this happening. In other words, you have to have that established already. This is our procedure. This is the district. To be confronted, he has a right, or she has a right, to be confronted by the witnesses against you. You can't have all these people that are saying, you know, I can't tell you about this person, but this person right here, they, you know, they're the ones that's going to, you know, do you in. And it's like, okay, the Constitution says they need to look at me in my face and they need to tell me to my face, this is what they're saying. That's a right you have as a citizen. That's why people, and then he says, you actually have a right to, a compulsory right that you can actually force them by law to show up to your trial, to stand in front of the entire public people and say what they said. And think about that. When people are lying against you, I mean, are they really going to go and sit on a witness stand with television cameras on them? And people have done this, and it turns in on them. And they're going to keep this lie up in front of the entire world where they're going to end up persecuting, perjuring themselves, because that's what they'd be doing. Or they could be an actual witness that's going on. And so you have a right to that, the public aspect of that, and you can compel them to come by law. And to have an assistant counsel for your defense. In other words, if you can't afford to have an attorney, our Constitution says we will make sure you have an attorney. This is huge. Is that not? I mean, if you study history, this is not how it worked. The way it worked was, you know, I think it was Stalin made this statement. It may have been Stalin, one of the leaders of Russia. He said, you know, tell me. They asked him about a citizen. They said, you know, did he violate a crime? And this is his response. You tell me the man, and I'll tell you what crime he's committed. Because there's so many laws right now that are been put up that it's like, if we don't have this Constitution and this right and our Sixth Amendment rights, where we can stand there free, in other words, I'll serve on the jury for you if you'll serve on the jury for me. You know what I'm saying? You know, we got to stop getting out of jury duty. Yes. We need intelligent, biblically minded, Christ-centered, constitutionally aware, caring, loving citizens on juries that listen to the evidence. And maybe, and so what happens with the grand jury is just an exploratory group that just says, okay, it's 16 to 23 folks, I believe. And then they come in and everybody, and there's no rules and stuff like it's in the courts, like just let it rip, talk, whatever. They can ask whatever they want to, because nobody's being convicted here. Nobody. It's just like, we're just searching for, is there any evidence at all that probable cause for a crime? Which means this, if you have 16 to 23 people that's from your community digging through your life like a haystack and through that incident and what took place, and 16 to 23 people in your community come out and they say, we couldn't find nothing. We should respect the grand jury's decision, because they took their time to go, and they're sworn into this thing, and they take their responsibility serious. When you have 16 to 23, I mean, that's going to bring a balance to that. Yeah. That's an intense, everybody's opinions are coming in. It's just beautiful. Is that not beautiful?
Yeah.
That is totally beautiful. We get back from the break. We're going to have a simple, you know, whiteboard discussion. You know, what is a grand jury? About 2 minutes. So you can be empowered and you can share this with your friends, because we need to know in America right now, what is a grand jury? What does it mean? Because they're talking about a decision, and we should honor that decision, whatever that decision is. And even if they come out of this thing and say that he hasn't committed a crime, or he has committed a crime, or we see no probable cause that a crime has been committed, is what they'll say. Or we see a probable cause that possibly one has been committed. Remember, still, there's innocence. Now it goes to the next phase, which is a jury of 6 to 12 citizens from that community. They're going to go intently with prosecutors and defense attorneys and with the judge, and they're going to work out, and they still have to prove his guilt. He does not have to prove his innocence, or she doesn't have to prove their innocence. You have to prove beyond a shadow of doubt that they're guilty.
Don't forget, you can find out more information about the original 10 of our nation on VFNTV.com, on the VFN Torch under series. We have the original 10 of the nation, where we talk about constitutional things, and we're not constitutional lawyers or anything, but we're citizens.
Yes.
Don't let anybody pull out of your hand that you are the one. It's called We the People, in order to form a more perfect union. The reason why, we're talking about grand juries, the reason why government has to submit to you, grand jury, is because you are in control. You're in leadership in America. So the officers have to bring their case before the people of America in a gathering called a grand jury, according to the Sixth Amendment, and let you look at it, see what you think. Because you're going to say, you know, the government has to submit to you. I mean, it's the whole thing is to keep from having a overreaching government. That's the purpose of it. Government means any government employee anywhere with any laws that have been created from Congress down to the local dog catcher, that you have that. And this is grand juries are for felonies, not for misdemeanors.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have right now, with this big thing coming out, they're making a big thing about the situation, is, and we're all for justice, you know, God knows. And understand sometime, if I tried to talk about something for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and you didn't talk about it, you didn't acknowledge it, because everything was always going your way. The money went your way. The economy went your way. The jobs went your way. The housing went your way. Favor went your way. And now I have an opportunity that you can't get away from, that's going to force you to have a conversation. You can think logically about it, or you can just have the conversation. And right now, what's happening in America, I believe we have a lot of our fellow citizens who are saying, I want to have the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have this talk. At the same time, the viewpoint that we're talking about here is a constitutional right and a grand jury. What does a grand jury mean? And we need to honor the people of Ferguson who are meeting right now, or, you know, have met on this grand jury. And they're the ones that actually know what's going on more than anybody else, because everything's being presented to them. As a matter of fact, let's watch this simple little 2 minute. What is a grand jury? And it is your constitutional rights, the Sixth Amendment, which I read earlier. Watch this.
In this video, we will discuss grand juries. A grand jury determines whether there is enough evidence to accuse or charge someone with a crime. But grand juries do not determine whether someone is guilty or innocent of the crime. The grand in grand jury means big. Federal grand juries are bigger than trial juries and usually have 16 to 23 members. You can think of a grand jury as a shield against unjust prosecution. Among other things, a grand jury is supposed to make sure that if there is no evidence, a person will not be accused of a crime. For example, let's say there was a robbery. The police investigate the robbery and they find a fingerprint. And the fingerprint belongs to David. The prosecutor will show the fingerprint to the grand jury and say, "We want to prosecute David based on this evidence." The grand jury has to determine whether there is enough evidence, probable cause, to accuse David of the robbery. Let's say the grand jury decides that there is enough evidence to accuse David of the crime. We would say David has been indicted by the grand jury on the charge of robbery. The head of the grand jury will sign a document called an indictment, which charges David with the robbery. Remember, though, at this point, David is still innocent. But he has been accused of a crime. The Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution guarantees a person's right to a grand jury for felonies under federal law.
So we're looking at the amendment rights that we have. When you talk about the Fourth Amendment, when you're talking about probable cause is spoken about in the Fourth Amendment. When he says the right of a person to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable search and seizure shall not be violated, and no warrant, in other words, somebody can't just grab you off the streets, shall be issued but upon probable cause supported by an oath. And so we're looking at here in the context of this, and I'm reading from this little book. I didn't get you a little small booklet about the Constitution, so you can have it because it's your rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so the grand jury, and the reason why it's grand, because it's a big bunch of folks, you know, 16 to 23 or whatever from your community, that are going to look, we the people are going to look at all these things that are going on to see if there's any probable cause. And probable cause is reasonable suspicion to believe that potentially a crime has been committed or was about to be committed.
I have a question. What happens then if the grand jury comes back and they say there is no probable cause?
Then that means they're innocent. You know, we're not lawyers. We're not given the liberties, but it means that we, the people, this large group of people, looked at everything that was presented, and maybe everything wasn't presented at that time, but everything was presented, and they said, we found no probable cause, which is mm-hmm. the Fourth Amendment, which means the Fourth Amendment held the grand jury to the fact is that this citizen has to have their rights in regards to, if there's no probable cause, you know, you gotta let them go.
The citizen has been accused.
Yeah, accused, mm-hmm. wrongly accused, because they're innocent at this point. They're innocent. And so you have to say, by the way, people are innocent until proven guilty, but this whole system is set up in such a way that with me, what is this? Really, a lot of it is media where, you know, people just automatically began because the officers will tell you, you know, this case is going to go before a grand jury. This case is going to go before a jury of your peers, and I'm going to talk and present my evidence and what I know, and the witnesses are going to come in based on what they swore to, and you're going to hear all that, and we're going to present our case to your neighbors, this jury over here from your community who had a driver's license, and they picked their name, and they're going to come in, they're going to sit. And it was, the judge was selected by, you know, color marbles. You know, every judge has a different marble color, and so we just pull the next marble out of the gumball machine, and blue happened to come out. So you got the judge, whatever his name is, because he represents blue. I mean, everything's so fair in that context to make sure that when the citizens look at this thing and they go, listen, there's no cause. It's called innocent. It's called innocent. And so we have to understand when we're looking at this huge overreaching government right now, sending people down there to reportedly interfere with what's happening, it's the grand jury's responsibility to not allow that to happen. And it's for the authorities there to protect that grand jury, that nobody messes with them while they're looking at the evidence that's going on.
So if they do say there is probable cause, that doesn't mean that the person's guilty. It just means there's just enough information to proceed. Is that right?
Right. It means that there's a reasonable suspicion to believe a crime has or potentially was going to be committed. In other words, somebody's about to break into a house, but they have a crowbar and a hammer and a hood on, you know, with the, you know, bandit thing on their face. And so, but that just still means that okay, this big grand group of we the people got together. They allowed everybody to, and they could ask any questions they want to. There's no rules, I don't believe at all. I mean, you could just go like, hey, Bubba, come over for a minute. So, you're telling me, which is great because it lets them think the way they think and talk the way they thought and get the information that, because we're all differently how we get it. Because the next level, when you actually do have probable cause, even though you're still innocent, you're going to go to the courthouse, and the judge and a jury is going to be there, and they got to prove your guilt. And if they can't prove it, you're innocent. And it's beyond a shadow of doubt. They have to prove it beyond a shadow of doubt, which means if there is a potential that 10% chance that you didn't do it, then they can't convict you. They have to convict you based on beyond a shadow of doubt. I mean, how many people, I mean, they watch a television program and they're just like, you mean they're just speaking all this stuff on us. Like they haven't even gone to a grand jury and the word indictment. I mean, you see people using that for political power and to demoralize people and to put a shadow over them. And you're looking at governors that have been indicted, like Governor Rick Perry of Texas. So people go, oh, he's been indicted for a grand jury to prove his innocence. I mean, you don't even know. And so we have to educate ourselves that we don't buy in to this, you know, organizing effort of our nation where anybody's trying to organize in a dark way to be able to remove our constitutional rights and realize, well, let's wait for the grand jury. I mean, if you're going to, people love to get armbands, right? Let's start having armbands. It's like, let's wait for the grand jury because I think we're going to see a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And even if it's your worst enemy, and I don't think you should have one necessarily a worst enemy, but you want them to have, if you're, I believe Dr. King said this, that injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. In other words, if your neighbor doesn't get justice, then nobody's getting justice. And what Dr. King was talking about, hey, we got an entire segment of the human race that's right here in our nation, and everybody's not being treated fairly. And so injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. And so we want justice. But justice is about bringing things into order. It's about, you know, making things right in the context of that. And I'm not an attorney or anything like that, but I am a citizen. And you're a citizen, and you can speak with authority if you'll, you know, get into the Constitution. It's just a simple little, book, carry it with you in your pocket and just read it every now and then. Understand that Washington exists. Washington, D.C. exists because it's written about in here. When you hear, you know, leaders stand up and say, according to Article 4, we're having this committee. What they're talking about, it's Article 4 in the Constitution. I mean, everything, Congress and the House of Representatives, the judiciary branch, the executive branch, I mean, all these things are written about the vice president and how old you got to be president, who can be a citizen and who can vote and who can't vote. And all these different, it's in a small little booklet like this. This is what, and we're going to go to break, but this is what I really believe, that if we don't get into this, if we don't get into this, the Bible, if we don't pick it up and begin to abide with Jesus Christ, begin to find out his ways, this little small thing right here that's stumping evil folks who want to do us in, it'll just go away. But you think he's going to let us keep the word over this nation that gives us these rights if we don't say, God, I want to keep this word, your word, over me? 81% of Christians in America, according to George Barna, don't even pick their Bibles up at all. And the 19% that do, only 3% of those even read it like we're reading the Constitution. They apply it to their life. Listen, it's time for us to say, Lord, I want to get your word right, and I want to get the Constitution right, and by your grace and in view of your mercies, I want to walk as a good citizen in your kingdom and in America. There's more on VFNTV.com about this. Go to VFN Torch. You look for series and look for the original tent over America. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.